Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, 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 welcome to the second reading and the second recording of Wisdom for the Devoted, or as the longer title, Divine Wisdom and Exhortation Concerning the Devotee's Conduct. Exhortation. So we're currently on page 16. We read the first two sections of the book, and there's this next reading is actually one of the longer sections of the entire book, and so we'll read the entire section. And it's entitled Conduct Appropriate to the Way. Conduct Appropriate to the Way. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's start with the Fatiha and the bringing in the light of the prophets before we get into the actual recitation. Excuse me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا on the prophets, and from the prophets, all of the teachers, the line of teachers all the way through Sidi Muhammad. Uh, direct line of truth and light that coming through this book. This book, which is being used as the platform from which CD is teaching in the schools this year. So as I read, just asking CD to extend his spirit into this circle of recitation and listening, so that each of our hearts can open according to certain things that touch us, the way that when we sit in teaching with him, how 98% might just be heard by the mind, but then there's that 2% which is specifically relating to you. This particular chapter is called Conduct Appropriate to the Way. It's on page 16. The Sheikh is the caretaker. The Sheikh is the educator, he is the physician, and he is the therapist of the self's whims. And he is also the restrainer of the lusts of the self. To walk the devotee, al-murid, to salvation, to purity and clarity, the honorable shuyukh, may Allah sanctify their secrets, impose special conduct for the devotee in their ways. This is in addition to the regular recitation and the obligatory rites which the noble Quran imposes. This code of conduct aims at illuminating the devotee's heart. Excuse me. And purifying his conscience to raise him to the loftiness of spiritual refinement in ways that oppose the nafs. The devotee cooperates with the Shaykh in applying the code of conduct to defeat the authoritative temptations of the self. In this tariqah or way, the code of conduct is divided into two types. The first type or practice is the taming of the nafs, and the second type is the major retreat. Taming the nafs. This practice lasts for 40 days, and its method includes the following steps. 1. The devotee should not eat any meat or meat products during the 40 days. 2. The devotee should reduce the amount of bread he eats, because bread and meat have an influence on the ego and its lust. 3. The devotee should reduce chatting about the world and devote his time to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 4. The devotee should only eat that which is permissible and turn away from any doubtful food, even if the doubt is insignificant. The devotee should reduce the amount of the cold water he drinks, because it may cause unconsciousness or make him sleepy. To ease the goal of the devotee seeking Allah concerning the diet to be observed, the practice time should be divided into 4 stages, and each stage lasting 10 days. In the first stage, the devotee should eat only 1 loaf of bread daily, with a small amount of fruit, vegetables, and tea. In the second stage, the devotee should eat only half of a loaf of bread with a small amount of fruit, vegetables, and tea. In the third stage, the devotee should eat only a quarter of a loaf of bread with a small amount of fruit, vegetables, and tea. And in the first 7 days of the fourth stage, the devotee should eat 3 dates each day without any bread. And in the last three, it's enough. It's enough for him to only drink tea and water. Recitations. In addition to the daily recitations which the devotee is assigned to recite, such as the morning regular recitation, the Al-Wird, and the afternoon recitation, Al-Wird al-Asr, and the night recitation, Al-Wird al-Isha, the devotee has to repeat the regular recitations 100 times each. Prayers. In addition to the 5 daily prayers, the devotee must follow the following sunan: the sunnah of ablution, 2 cycles of prayers after every ablution before the limbs dry, in addition to 2 cycles of prayers before the dawn prayer, the Salat al-Fajr, the forenoon sunnah, the ad-duha, forenoon. Its time is after the sun rises and shines by beams, and it consists of at least 4 cycles of prayers. 4 cycles of prayers after the noon prayer, the Salat al-Dhuhr. 4 cycles of prayers before the afternoon prayer, the Salat al-Asr. 2 cycles of prayers after sunset prayer, Salat al-Maghrib. And between sunset prayer Maghrib and night prayer Isha, pray the Sunnah of the Retirees, which is 6 cycles of prayers. 2 cycles before the night prayer Al-Isha, the odd cycle prayer Salat al-Witr, 3 cycles of prayers after the night prayer Al-Isha. The Sunnah of the Hymns prayers Salat al-Tasbih. This is 4 cycles of prayers. In the first rak'ah, after reciting Al-Fatiha and reciting 1 short surah of the Noble Quran, the devotee says 15 times, I seek Allah's forgiveness, I praise Allah, and there is no deity except Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and there is neither power nor relief except by Allah, the lofty and the glorious. Astaghfirullah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la ilaha akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah, illa al-layul adhim. Then after each position during the prayer, the bowing, the ruku, prostrating sujood, stopping or place of equilibrium, ittidal, and standing, wukuf, the devotee repeats this, saying 10 times, so that in 1 araka, the sum of the dhikr is 75 times, and so should be the rest of the 4 araka. Notice that it is not right for the devotee to sleep at night during this taming process, but he can sleep after sunrise for an hour. It is also preferred during this process for the devotee to fast on Monday and Thursday of each week, as well as on the white days, al-ayyam al-bid, the 13th, 14th, 15th of each lunar month. The major retreat. The major retreat, the halwa, is the second type of practice in which the name Allah is repeated 1,000 times. Then the devotee says, I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him. Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilayh. He says that 1,000 times. Then he recites, O Allah, send your peace and blessings upon Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi wa salim. 1,000 times. In between the recital of every phrase, he must pray 2 cycles of prayers. And this is if he remains alone and has no company from among the people. The essence of retreat is to seclude one's self from people and to cut one's self off from everything except Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to excel in perfecting his worship, to contemplate his favors, and to excel in thanking him. For some Gnostics, the retreat is secluding oneself from oneself and from what the self invites him to do that distracts him from being conscious of Allah. It was said that the retreat is feeling congeniality by the remembrance of Allah and being busy with contemplation. The legitimacy of spiritual retreat is affirmed in the noble Quran or in the tongue of the owners of the cave. The youths said to one another, when you have withdrawn from them and what they worship except Allah, take refuge in the cave, and your Lord will spread out his mercy for you and provide you with ease in your situation. Quran 18:16. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, so remember the name of your Lord and devote yourself to him with utter devotion. 73:8. That's the end of that chapter. So there's another chapter here. It's called Engaging the Way of Sufism. That's the end of the chapter on the minor Taming the Nafs and the major Retreat. The course of Sufism, the way of purification, is an obligatory duty without which the person's religion remains incomplete. We shall elaborate on that by mentioning several aspects. Let's start this chapter again. Engaging the way of Sufism. The course of Sufism, the way of purification, is an obligatory duty without which the person's religion remains incomplete. We shall elaborate on that by mentioning several aspects. The first aspect. The first aspect encompasses the hadith about Jibril's visit with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. The way of purification is the station of excellent benevolence, ihsan, which is one of 3 pillars of the religion clarified in the long hadith about Jibril's visit to the Messenger of Allah. There is no doubt that the instructions of the religion must be followed in order to establish its 3 pillars. Surrender, Islam, faith, Iman, and excellent benevolence, Ihsan. One of the religious rulings, the fatwa, of a Gnostic is that the initial founding of the way of the Tariqa was by revelation, Wahi. The way founded by divine revelation is one of the essential foundations of the religion of Muhammad. Without doubt, the way is the method of reaching the excellent benevolence and is one of the 3 pillars that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified one by one. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this was Jibril, he came to you to teach you your religion. Therefore, the end to which the way calls and points to is the station of excellent benevolence attained by refining one's surrender, Islam, and faith, Iman, to firmly establish the three pillars that lead to the attainment of eternal happiness in the lower world, the dunya, and in the final world, the akhirah. For the one who gains it, it guarantees the completion of the religion. But whoever impairs his station of excellent benevolence, which is the way, his religion will be incomplete because he will have abandoned one of its pillars. In this respect, the verifiers argued that it is obligatory to join the way and to take the course of purification. They had their evidence of the obligation in what is obvious intellectually, as well as in accordance with the transmitted knowledge. We are not here to argue that because the glorious Quran has already clarified enough about the states of the purified way, the Quran addresses such issues as mindfulness, muraba, accountability, muhasaba, repentance, tauba, returning, inaba, remembrance, dhikr, contemplation, fikr, truthfulness, siddiq, strife, jahada, and opposing one's whims and self, the nafs. It also mentions the commanding self, the reproachable self, the content self, the loyal friends, al-awliya, the genuine ones, as-siddiqeen, and the supporters, and mentions many other stations which are all addressed by the Sufis, the people of the way, may Allah be pleased with them. So know and reflect, because the way is very precious. The second aspect involves the purification of the soul from temptations. The way of purification, atasawuf, is the science that is particular to searching for the ills of the selves and corrects them by revealing the way of healing and its remedies, so that the self attains the station of completion and prosperity and enters the station that Allah has described in the Quran. Successful is the one who purifies it. Quran 91:9, that is, purifies the self. There's no doubt that the self-healing of its ills and diseases is an obligatory duty of the divine law, the Ash-Sharia, and is agreeable to sound reason. Without this healing, there is no distinction between the human being and an animal. The third aspect. Renunciation as a way of purification is concerned about discipline and manners. Renunciation opposes the whims of the self in order to endure hardship and refine the self, raising it above lower desires to rejoice in the spiritual pleasure attained by devotion. In the light of spiritual joy, all other pleasures become insignificant. The fourth aspect. Asceticism as a way of purification was characteristic of the companions, as-sahaba, the followers, at-tabi'un, and the virtuous predecessors, Salaf as-Salih, whom we are instructed to follow and be guided by their guidance. The companions would hasten to obey the commands of Allah. They were the first who entered the way and acted accordingly. They tasted its secrets and they cultivated its fruits, and so they attained the characters that Allah and His Messenger love. Through the way, you can attain proximity to them and Allah. This is why the way is also called the pathway, al-mambar, in addition to calling it at-tasawwuf and at-tariqa. The followers follow the way of the companions, even though they are considered less in rank. Many follow generation after generation until imposters begin to appear and people begin to compete for worldly things and compassionate deeds are set back. The lower self, the nafs, is awakened once more and the lights of the heart retreat and religious corruption takes place. The realities are almost turned upside down. This occurred in the 100th year after the migration of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Mecca to Medina. The corruption continued to increase year after year until it reached a worrisome state that demanded of the virtuous predecessors, as-Salaf as-Salih, to appoint scholars to preserve the noble religion. Therefore, some of them wrote on the station of faith, iman, and set standards for its foundation and rules, while other scholars wrote on the station of excellence, ihsan, and set standards describing its states. And from the first group, we have the four imams and their followers, may Allah be pleased with them. And from the second group, we have al-Junayd, who is the founder of the tariqa through divine inspiration. It is attributed to him because he was the one who responded to preserve its rules, roots, and foundation, and he called people who were turned away from it to follow it. This is why the way has been attributed to him. The science of creeds, aqaid, is attributed to al-Ash'ari, and the science of jurisprudence, fiqh, is attributed to the four imams. But they were all inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve the religion. This is a conclusive realization that tasawwuf does not deviate from what the companions and the followers followed, which shaped their ethical character and beautified their qualities with which Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, urges us to qualify ourselves. He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, praises the possessors of beautiful qualities in many verses of the Quran, and the Messenger did as well through many, many hadith. The fifth aspect. One aspect of following the way is to accompany the fulfilled sheikhs, to take them as role models, and to be guided by their guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed people to do so in His saying, follow the way of the one who turns back to me. Quran 31:15. Returning, al-inaba, cannot happen without clear knowledge and a constant state that does not neglect anything in the book or in the sunnah. The sixth aspect. Following the way illuminates the insight of a person and illuminates the insight of a person and energizes his enthusiasm, his himma, to the extent that he has no attachment except to Allah and does not rely on any other beside him. And in this sense, his inner secret is preserved from attachment to creation. And he rises above what is expected of him. He's satisfied by the real, the al-haq, and is fulfilled by the truth in all of his states. He is supported by the divine law in his words and actions. And this is the highest goal for any believer. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refers to this in his saying, which is reported by Ibn Abbas, "If you ask, then ask Allah, and if you seek help, then seek it from Allah." The companions, those such as Thauban radiallahu anhu, and his friend As-Siddiq Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, gave their promise to not ask people for anything. This was to remove the attachment to creation and to seek refuge in the real, al-haq. The seventh aspect. The purpose of following the way by accompanying a guide, a Gnostic sheikh, to spiritual maturity is to free the self from the recklessness of the lower nafs and for protection from everything that prevents the arrival of the divine presence. The devotee is protected from all types of ignorance and arrogance and temptation, which would lead him to fall into darkness and extinguish the light of his heart. This is why the Shaykh Ibn At'ala said in his book, The Subtleties of Divine Favors, Lata'if al-Minan, quote, "The Imam helps release the seeker from desires, the prison of his whims, and motivates him to clean his inner self and guides him to Allah, the guardian protector's presence. The Imam supports the seeker, continuously polishing the mirror of his heart to facilitate the way of the disclosure of lights of his Lord. He raises you to Allah, and therefore you rise, and then he walks you until you arrive at his presence. Then he continues to be at your side until he throws you into his arms and pushes you into the light of the presence and says, here you are with your Lord." He also said that one must take a friend, a wali, as a role model. Allah points out to you the particular qualities which he deposited within him, and he folds his humanity so that you do not witness it in the presence of his particularity. Therefore, you surrender to his authority and he leads you to the path of spiritual maturity. And he reveals the inadequacy of yourself, the nafs, and points out how to unify the nafs in the way of Allah and how to escape from everything beside Allah. He walks with you on the road until you arrive at the presence of Allah. He informs you of the advance of your nafs and of how to escape and not obey the nafs. The wali also introduces the follower to Allah's great charity toward him, which benefits the follower in wanting to turn toward Allah and in constantly thanking him and remaining between his hands. If you ask, who is this person? You have described someone as rare to find as the phoenix of Morocco. Know that you do not lack the sentiment of knowing that the guides exist, but you lack the sentiment of being sincere in seeking them. If you sincerely seek a spiritual guide, you will surely find a spiritually mature guide. You can find this affirmation in the Book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, "Is it not he who answers the destitute one when he cries to him?" 27:62. And he also says, If they had been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. Quran 47:21. Therefore, when you feel the urgency of needing someone to help you arrive at the presence of Allah like a thirsty one who urgently needs water and is desperate for security, then you will find it as close to you as your quest. If you are in urgent need of Allah like a mother urgently seeking a child she has just lost, then you will surely find the real Al-Haq close to you, responding to you, and you will find reaching him easy, and then the real grants you ease. The eighth aspect. Another aspect of following the way is the remembrance of Allah and dhikr. Seeking the company of a sheikh to support you against your nafs will without doubt purify the heart and invite it to real contentment as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Those who believe and whose hearts are made tranquil by the remembrance of Allah, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a limit and condition for every conduct which he commanded in the noble Quran, except the act of remembrance, for which he set no limit, condition, or end. He says, O you who believe, remember Allah with remembrance abundant and glorify him in the morning and the evening. Quran 33:41-2. All of these aspects mentioned and not mentioned here make taking the way of purification obligatory and make deep involvement with its people a necessary matter. We do not deny that there have been many ignorant impostors who pretend to follow the path of Sufism for selfish gains and to achieve lustful whims whom Allah has not authorized. They claim to be possessors of the truth with permission to do what is forbidden by the divine rules, the Sharia. They're liars because the divine rules conform to reality and the truth is never in contradiction with them, except in the eyes of the ignorant. These people are not of the Sufis, and the Sufis are free from what they commit. It is not fair that some people judge Sufism by the actions of those ignorant ones and use them to argue against Sufism. True Sufism is in following the book and the Sunnah, and the true Sufis are those who strive against their selfish desires, and so they are guided by Allah. As for those who strive for us, we shall surely guide them to our ways, and surely Allah is with those who excel in doing good. Quran 29:69. That brings us to bottom of page 26, and next reading will be start on 27, inshallah. Sit for a moment. Just harvesting whatever was touching for your being this time. And we'll close with some surahs and أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه Ya alamuma bayna ayedihim ma halfahum wala yuhituna bi şey min ilmihi illa bima şa. Vasiye kürsiyuhu semavati vel ard ve la yauduhu hifzuhuma ve huvel Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kulluhu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. Lam yalid ve lam yulad ve lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.